And here he is from CanadianThinker.com, everybody's favorite blogger, Freddie P., joins us in his regular Monday spot. Good morning, Frederick.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Good to be with you again.
Nice to have you along, sir. Here in London, our brand new city council, new mayor Joe Fontana, meet for the first time later tonight. In Toronto, new mayor Rob Ford, Freddie, is making some news here for the guest list for his swearing-in.
That's right. Don Cherry at the top of the list. He wants Don there. Now, during the campaign and after his victory, Rob Ford had, said right off the top he wanted Don Cherry at his, your inauguration?
I'd say, yeah, inauguration, swearing in, sure.
Swearing in inauguration, because during the campaign, Cherry had endorsed Ford as, the man's man, the everyday guy.
He's a good Canadian kid and everything like that.
That's right, yeah. The fiscally responsible fella and everything, so... Of course, in Toronto, it's being, a lot of people don't like the idea that Don Cherry's going to actually put the mayor's necklace. Is that what you're calling it, MacArthur? Necklace?
It's a big old piece of jewelry, that's for sure.
It's a big old piece of jewelry thing.
Looks like a wrapper.
Yeah. They figure that it shouldn't be Cherry, who lives in Mississauga. Why should a Mississaugan have that honor? The guy doesn't even live in the city, so why should it be him? And it should be someone of the political ilk, someone that really helped Ford get there from the inside. In fact, a lot of people are thinking that maybe even the former mayor, David Miller, should put it around his neck, much like the green jacket at the Masters, right? The former champ?
That's right, yeah.
The current champ, so to speak. But I'm not surprised, and, there's an article in the Toronto Star this morning, which is... hammering Ford for making this decision, having Cherry there front and center, because they weren't big on Rob Ford going into this election, and I'm sure this is just day one of 4 years of going after the guy because they just don't like him.
Well, do people have a point here, Freddie? Because first, as you mentioned, Don does not reside in Toronto, doesn't pay taxes there. He's in Mississauga with Mayor Hazel, Hurricane Hazel. And as well, Rob Ford is the average Joe, the average guy, and I know Cherry portrays himself as such, but this guy's probably the biggest celebrity we've got in this country.
No, absolutely. And as they point out in the Toronto Star, both are millionaires, yet they celebrate the average guy, like they can relate to him. Like Rob Ford, even though he comes across as this fiscally responsible Joe average guy, he is a millionaire. He comes from money in his family, and same with Don Cherry. So I guess they just don't like the optics of these two millionaires pretending that they're speaking for the little guy and collaborating or getting together on the day and I guess just portraying this image that's false.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand to some degree, like, why Cherry? But the thing is, it's so wild, it's so out there, why not?
Mm-hmm. So you're more for the pomp and circumstance, and you just love the revelry, if you will.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, does it really matter who does it? Does it really matter whether Cherry's there or not? I mean, if you're not a supporter of Rob Ford, you're against it. If you're a supporter of him, then you go, oh, that's pretty cool, Don Cherry. Everybody loves Don. Hey, Don, how are you doing? Can I have your autograph? Oh, that was nice. See you later.
Yeah, and to your point about how unimportant this really is, who was the person that put the old necklace around David Miller's neck the last time?
Yeah. I can't even remember.
No.
I wouldn't know. Now tell me, what would happen? Is there a new mayor in London?
There is, yes. Joe Fontana took office last Wednesday.
Well, what if Nazem Kadri put the chain around his neck?
Well, he is a Londoner.
So, yeah, well, that's true.
He does come from the city. Yes.
That's right.
So we can get him on a technicality, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Here with Freddie P. from CanadianThinker.com. Also want to mention a big anniversary coming up on Wednesday, Fred. It'll be the 30th anniversary, hard to believe, of the murder of John Lennon.
Yes, and I'm showing my age like many. I can remember this vividly. I was lying on the carpet of the very first apartment I ever rented just after getting married, watching Monday Night Football, and Howard Cosell was the person that told me that John Lennon had been gunned down in the streets of New York. And
as a sidebar, I was watching that on YouTube last week, and Howard Cosell, there'll never be another like him, because, could he ever string a story out, couldn't he? if you watch the highlight pack of that, he's like, this just in from ABC News in New York City. We have confirmation that John Lennon, perhaps the most famous of the Beatles, it's like, get to it. What happened?
No, I know. It was, it was paralyzing. And you think nowadays with our information stream and things at our disposal as far as instant information. It would have never got to Monday Night Football before the world knew, right?
Right.
But
that's how most people found out that night.
Oh, absolutely. And then I ran to the radio and waited for more information. And just the news gathering ability back then and the technology, isn't like it was like it is today. So you're just sitting by the radio waiting for all this information to come through, and then you have to wait till the 11 o'clock news or the news the next morning on television to see the visuals, and that's all changed now. But
I do remember, speaking of the importance of radio, how most stations just, of course, flooded the airwaves with Lennon's music.
Oh, yeah, it took a while, and the radio station I worked for at the time, CFNY, which is now The Edge, as soon as it was confirmed, the program director made the call just to go wall-to-wall Beatles with Lennon vocals, and John had just released Double Fantasy at that time, so that was played and played and played out.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that strikes me about this whole thing is just how accessible Lennon made himself. Here's Mark David Chapman, knew exactly where he lived. Everybody knew that Lennon lived in the Dakota apartment building, and he really did make it too easy for somebody that wanted to commit harm to him, and unfortunately Mark David Chapman did.
Well, he would go through strolls in Central Park with Sean. He was completely exposed. I mean, if it didn't happen then, anybody that wanted to get him could have got him at any time, because he would walk freely through Central Park. And, this was a rebirth for Lennon after those years of seclusion and being the house husband or the house dad there for those 5 years where he hardly did anything. And then he had this coming out and really did make himself accessible to everybody. But I guess he was that type of guy.
Mm-hmm. I often wonder if he had lived, what he'd be up to today.
Well, we were robbed of a lot of great music, I know that. Because unlike Paul McCartney, who I don't think has written a song in 30 years, has he, Paul, like a song of any note in 30 years? I think Lennon would have kept producing profound music. Probably not a lot of it, but, it would have kept coming out periodically.
Yeah, robbed of great music and a great social voice as well.
Absolutely, and hey, that social voice, there's people that think maybe that's why he's dead.
Could be. Freddie,
that's the conspiracy angle.
We will have to leave it there for this week. Thanks as always, sir. We'll see you again next Monday.
I'm loving you, MacArthur.
There's Freddie P. from CanadianThinker.com.